Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Amen. I'm thankful to be at the house of God. Praise the Lord. You know, as Brother Jonathan expressing about a man talking to him, how do you know that you're born again? There's so many ways to answer that, you know, and which one is the right way to answer for that individual that would be speaking. You know, every time you find the mind of the Lord on something like that, God could give you something to express to a man. But, you know, when you could talk about your change of your life, you know, and gave him a wonderful answer, tell a man, well, I could tell you this. I know one thing. The things that I used to do, I don't do no more. And now I'm doing something else. Amen. I'm trying to serve my Lord. But, you know, Brother Pike one time made a statement. We've said it often. I've heard Brother Jonathan say it likewise. But he said, the way you know they're born again is because they endure all the way to the end. Endurance, brethren, endurance. That's what we must have. Amen. We've seen some men through the years that looked like they were really burning the fields for evangelism or burning the fields in pastoralship or just, I mean, they looked like they was on fire. And you think, I've heard people say, man, you'd think if there was ever a born-again man, it'd be that guy. And then later on down the trail, you find them out in the world. And they just went back like a dog to the vomit. You know, and some would say, well, you know, that means they backslid. Not according to the Bible. It said it was to be made manifest that they were never of you. Brethren, I'll be seated for a moment. Go ahead and be seated, and we'll go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. I'm not sure all who's hooked up with us tonight. We do have a brother. The brethren that are hooked up by phone tonight, I'd like them all to mute their phones for we don't get any background noise, except that we're going to get Brother Durrell on the line for a minute. Let me be brief with you. Brother Durrell's a young man, just got out of prison, about 31 years old. We're trying to do everything we can to help the brother, try to get him here. I tell you, he's been absorbing himself in the word and doctrine. He's been on our mailing list now for a while. He's been absorbing the messages from Christian Temple, from Brother Pike. And he's an inspiration to talk with, brother. And he's excited about this thing. And at the same breath of his excitement and his zeal for this word and things, he also has a reverence and a fear of knowing that he needs a brotherhood and needs help. And he needs a pastor and he needs counsel. He needs guidance. I tell you, I love to see that, brother, in a man. And people say, why? Because you want to control them or run their life? Well, again, I'll give you an opportunity to stand up if I'm controlling anybody's life that's here now. And I don't do that. I try to lead you into the kingdom and try to help you order your steps and for by the Lord. Amen. We're going to try to get him to hook up with us in the You got it ready, Brother Chuck? Brother Durrell, are you there with me tonight?
Yes, sir. I'm here, Brother Rob.
All right. We could hear you loud and clear here. Take your liberty, brother. Just testify to the brotherhood here. We're listening. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, man. I'm looking forward to being able to be with you all. I apologize for the background noise. I was out here with these children. But I used to be a drug dealer while I was there and a big-time gang member. I was a very, very violent man. Just bound with a lot of different spirits, a woman beater, you name it, you know, shot people. I was selfish, and there's so many different things that I was bound with. And before I got saved, the Lord allowed me to understand that I was bound. And I was in a shed one night, had lost everything, and I told God, I said, hey, man, I said, I don't know how to do anything else. I said, if you would just give me an opportunity, then I will tell everybody about you. You really show yourself. And I thank the Lord that he showed himself. And I ended up getting saved. And I had some things in my past, and I ended up having to go to prison. But I've always just held on to the word where God said, if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. And my biggest thing with him, I said, Lord, just like Moses was going up there now in the fire, I want to be the one that just have a relationship with you, just to get closer, and I just want to be like Jesus. And I thank God that I went to prison, and I didn't understand it. I said, Lord, have mercy. You know, here I am, changed my life, trying to do something for you, and I go to prison, and I met Brother Van, and I met Brother Rob. And man, I'm telling you, it's like the whole world just opened up. and you are my brothers, and I love you dearly. And my testimony would be, I could go on and on about how he saved me all night because he had saved me. And I'm a bad, you know, I was a bad case. If he saved me, he could save, you know, anybody. But it was more so through the, as Brother Rob is teaching us about the mind of Christ, and it is to understand that we are the brotherhood, and we are here, and we have to fight. And that is just what that's what I get from Brother Rob. He is strong, but it is in love. And that's to say that these people, they need us. There are children out here. Your testimonies, your victories that God has given you, the wisdom by the word that we have as to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the present day application that Brother Rob is giving, it is vital. They need it. And when you get around people, you see them drawn to you, and they're drawn to Jesus in you. And my testimony is that I thank God because I said, Lord, have mercy. How in the world am I worthy to come into truth? You got so many people, and I'm around them daily, who are indoctrinated in so many false things, and you would think, man, Jesus, they love you. They fed 1,000 kids. They did this and that. But I said, Lord, have mercy. What is it? And I read in the Bible with Jesus, say, everybody went home, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And I told people, I said, you know what? What humbles me the most about Jesus, and I love him so much, is because, you know, everybody is so caught up in things, but the only thing Jesus wants is just your heart. And that has helped me. And they say, humble yourself on the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. So I testify to you all that God's power is still in his house. He still is delivering. He still is healing. All those things that Brother Rob preaches about, all those things that you, my brother and sister, all those things that you are reading about, the power of the Lord is still within this earth and is confined within his church. And I love you all, and I just want you to understand, to know who we are and to know what we have. I say, Lord, have mercy, God. I say, if I got Jesus in me and everybody got Jesus in me, then why do they, Jesus, allow them to sit down and they don't have a heart for nobody? But I ask the Lord, I say, give me a heart for your people and break my heart for what breaks yours. So I'm just testifying to God's mercy and his grace upon me and his love. And that's all I wanted people to know. I said, out of all my life, I caused so much destruction, but he forgave me. And at the cross, you know, I realized that that's not who I was ever made to be, that God created me, and he loved me, and I'm still in one to be made. And it's just because of that, and being indoctrinated, being able to come to be able to meet Brother Rob and learn to be able to go closer to Jesus. And I thank God for that. So I testify to that, and I thank him for it, and I thank him for blessing me. And I miss you all, and I love you. And I just say, let's do something for Jesus. Let's do something for Jesus. Wherever we are, let's do something for him. And that's just how I see it. I think it's time for us to stand up. It's time for us to unite. And it's time for us to fight the devil. We're not giving him nothing. It's time for us to fight.
Amen.
I love you all.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand, Brian. Brother Durrell's with a youth group right now at a church service. And he said, well, we're outside. He goes, it'll be all right. And they're going to be listening in with us. And so we'll see what we could do in the mind of Christ tonight and bring a word. Amen. You know, brethren, we think of, it's an encouragement to me. You know, some of you are in the building trades and different things. And, you know, I think back in years gone by, y'all could be seated. Thank you for staying on the platform with me. I think about when training and you would make advancements in flight training. And I remember the day of my solo flight, you know, and I remember when I multi-engine soloed at 17 years old. And as I progressed, each segment of progression of things, naturally speaking, was always encouraging to look at as accomplishments, you know, and as progressed through training and learned skills. And, you know, I found that industry or trade or occupation would lean on me heavy to exercise the gifts that were imparted in me and trained in teachings and doctrines. And as I found myself in leadership positions in different skills and things, and was always nice to do something and find accomplishment. You know, you paint an airplane and you get back and you look at it and say, hey, this looks nice. You know, and it goes on. It's something that you've accomplished, and then you go on to the next project. Didn't matter what it was. It could be painting an automobile or rebuilding one or taking a wreck and taking all the bent parts off and straighten it out and put it all back together, and you could see accomplishments. And we as children of God that are sowing into the kingdom of God, we should be able to do likewise. We should be able to look, and we should be able to see something that is an accomplishment. It's not that we could say, this is what I've done. It's I say what he's done through me. I was a tool. I was a mouthpiece. I was the hand of the Lord. We're not doing these things out of some kind of a, you know, in corporate world or in trainings. You could take things to yourself and build corporations or big business or whatever. But it doesn't work that way in the kingdom. You know, there should be an honor to you to give honor who honors due, the Bible says. And you should be a person that people can honor you for your endeavors. They should be able to look at you and with an honor and a sense, you know, I appreciate that brother's sacrifice. I appreciate what he's done. I appreciate his labors. And we all have people like that in our lives, brethren. And I look to you that way. I see a brotherhood here, and I appreciate their loyalty, their labors, their contributions of all types. And I really mean that. And I look at you not as a sense of something I've done, but I am a headship of a work. And I've got to try to do my best to keep men together, to keep people coordinated, and to keep things down. You can give place to a devil today, tomorrow. You might be doing fine today. You'd be walking with the pastor today, rejoicing in the Lord. Tomorrow you give place to a devil. Could happen tonight. You could be with me. 5 minutes later, you could be fighting me in the spirit. And, you know, we use Peter for an example. The Lord gives him the keys to the kingdom. Talks about, you know, that he had received this revelation from heaven, you know, from God, from the spirit world. And then a couple minutes later, he says, get you behind me, Satan. You know, 5 or 6 verses down, going from being praised to being rebuked. Well, that's me. That's you. And we got to contend for the faith. We got to continually stay steadfast in doctrine and thinking on the thing, as the Bible said, the things from above, the things that are pure and holy and godly and righteous. We got to stay upon those things. When we go to the scriptures and the word, it talks about every day. You know, we could say you done well yesterday. Man, I really killed old Rob Coons out yesterday, man. I put that guy under my feet and I told him to shut his mouth and I let Christ live. But you know, I got to do that again tomorrow. And I got to do that again the next day. And you know, sometimes I've dealt with people over the years and they feel like they're building up an account. And that's the truth. You really do. You can build up a spiritual account that you could literally draw on. That because you've conditioned yourself, you're walking, you're growing in the grace and knowledge of God. But it's not like you're going to build up this account and just turn and do evil, and that you've got this account. But you can draw an account of faith. You know, you could build up an account, and because you've committed your works unto the Lord and your thoughts are established, that you could draw on that account. Brother Pike had men come to him, women alike, that had death sentences. And he would remind them of their labors. And the things, Sister Melissa has been a very faithful to her. She's a, you know, if I want to talk about faithfulness, Miss Sister Melissa has been a faithful wife. She's been faithful to her husband. She stood with him. He's dragged her all over the country and things like that. And she stayed with him as a wife should. And she's honored him. So I see faithfulness. She's faithful to the house of God, faithful to school, faithful to benevolence. We have camp meetings. She's faithful. She's there working. You know, sometimes the only labors we get out of some, they might come over and help serve or do something like that. But I don't see the faithfulness in their life. They got their own world, their own things, their own minds, their own families and things. And it's not a faithfulness. But when she came in a need of prayer the other night, I reminded her of her faithfulness. And I said, let's draw on that. He said, why don't we draw on the faith of the Lord? Well, when you're a child of God, that is his faith. Because you've committed your works unto him, and then you've established and built faith. And you say, is that the way healing works? Yes, it does work that way. But at the same time, I've had men that received miracles before that had no faith, had no understanding, had nothing. and we were absolutely living wretched lives. And the Lord spoke. And you know, you say, why would God do that? Why would he do that? To show you that he's God, that you're not going to earn this thing. You understand what I'm saying? That you won't earn this. You know, brethren, we could preach, you know, we could teach and do whatever the Lord would lead. But you know, at the same time, we want to talk to people and get right down in their spirit. When I met Brother Pike, I sat down with him and he went right into my spirit and he grabbed it. Amen. And I couldn't, I mean, there was something drawn there to me. He wasn't shouting. He wasn't yelling. He wasn't going into deep mysteries by no means. He just sat there and started speaking to my spirit. And he compelled me through love and drew me through love. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that. And that's what you want to be and what I want to be. And, you know, we use Brother Pike as an example. We all love him, respect him. And, you know, the people that never met the brother, I want to teach them to love and to respect because he was a man of God. We're not dependent on him for our salvation, brother. If you've never listened to a message of Brother Pike, you've never heard or even heard his name, I can tell you this. The name you need to know is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only name given among the men that they shall be saved. But at the same breath of that said, we can honor, brethren. We can honor great men of God. And there's been many over the years that were there as a many-membered body of Christ to help and lead and guide people. We could be talking about these great men of old and forget about bringing forth great men today. Amen. And that's what you are. You need to be them great men today that you could lead people into the kingdom. When Brother Pike sent me up here, he said, the people don't need revelation, Brother Rob, they need holiness. You know, when I look back at his work that was strong in revelation, but then yet they've all fallen away because many of them departed holiness and they went to their own minds, their own thoughts, their own will, their own ministries. Brethren, the first revelation you need to come to is you don't have a ministry. There's only one ministry. There's one faith, one God, one baptism, brethren. And the ministry is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Pike said, I don't have no revelation. The Bible said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when you get out of your own revelations and your own tree of knowledge, get out of your own understanding, your own Bible studies, and you yield to that, he'll give you a revelation that's present for that time and for that moment. You see, sometimes we try to win souls by impressing them with something that you don't understand, and you talk to them and make them believe that you understand what you're talking about, but nobody understands, and there's no fruit of it, you know, except some bunch of people running around in circles, running and beating at the air. But brethren, let me tell you, the revelation of Jesus Christ is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to hear the attributes of God. As we wrestle, as we grow in the grace and knowledge, you're going to have an intermingling there, the wheat and the tare growing together for a short time. And that old tare nature is going to keep trying to come in and use your mind. It's a dispute for thought. It's a dispute for the body. It's a dispute for your life. And the thing is Satan wants to use your vocal utterance. You know, I was talking to Brother Durrell, and I said, I hate to share this with you, Brother Durrell. Brother Durrell's a good-looking kid. I told you he's 31, and I don't need to talk like that. He's probably already struggling with that. But I told him, Brother Pike said, it's a curse to be good-looking. You know, the only way a man would understand that is in the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. Because, you know, men with good looks, they get the jobs, and they get the girls, you know, and you think, how could that be a curse? Them jobs and girls could be a big curse. Amen. They could absolutely destroy you. Amen. And, you know, and the same thing would be said to a woman. You know, the woman with the right curves and the right forms and things like that, they go out here and wiggle around, shape around, boy, and they move them right up the corporate ladder. You know, like that, men just lay down for them. You know, hey, man, whatever you need. It's a curse, brethren. We want to be Spirit-led, walking in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit. Amen. We have any questions tonight? We'll won't keep you long this evening. It was good to hear from Brother Durrell. He's down in Conyers right now, staying with a pastor there. He's a Baptist minister, and he had him speak on Sunday. He said, Brother Durrell said, man, Brother Rob, I was scared, but he goes. So I was like, only thing I know is what I've heard you say. So he said, you was the guy preaching over there. And man, you don't want me preaching on Baptist church, amen. I love the Baptist people, but You know, the things that we're ministering and teaching and preaching, brethren, has to have a foundation laid for it. Amen. And you got to get people in a doctrine that they could receive the things of God and the Word. Amen. We have any questions tonight? Amen. Yes, sir. And we did call them out by name. We've been praying for them before church and things. But thank you, brother. That's a kind thought. We do want to hold up these people in prayer. And there's one, I guess we could say, on its way. You know, the thing is, brother, we could set faith and believe and stand and say, God, we're going to ask you to turn that thing north and miss United States. And we could do that. We have the authority and the power to do that. But here's something else we need to have the authority and the power of. You see, through the understanding of the standard Christian, they would never believe that God would allow such a thing to happen. But let me share some things right there as the brother brings a thought. Looking at the mind of America, a model for America is united we stand, divided we fall. And America is divided in so many ways. If I want to talk about the political divisions between the conservatives and the liberals, I mean, they're banging heads and it's terrible. This is an allegory, but it shows something. Brethren, I don't care if we're looking at politics or in the church. The churches are all divided up and they're banging heads. Racism, they're divided up, the colors and things. Some of these men that's been incarcerated, they could think of the wretchedness of the gang fighting and the gang wars. But see, people are even divided other than that. When we was in Africa, we had black tribes that we were working with. And they know their native tongue, they call it. And they would listen. And they'd be very cautious to even speak because there was so much tribal strife and racism and killings. You know, some of you remember back in the 80s and things of the Hutus and the Tutsis. And the thing is, they called it the River of Blood. And I mean, this was black man killing black man over there, brethren. And I mean, they slaughtered, they called it ethnic cleansing. So we could talk about the division around the whole entire world, yes. But speaking of the nation that we live in, the land that we live in, and the land we dwell in, we're seeing division. And the thing is that listening to the media and the struggles and the chaos and the hatred and the bitterness and all the things they're doing, a little storm, not real little, but a storm rolls right in on the Gulf Coast and floods one of our cities. And we can see a little bit of a back off on this bitterness and division. And you find black man helping the white man and white man helping the black man. You find the conservative saving the liberal. You know, when yesterday he wanted to be the one to push him under, hold him down for a minute till the bubbles quit, you know, but he gives him a hand and pulls him out of the water. You see, it brought some unity, and America needs some unity right now. And you say, well, Brother Rob, is it going to take this other storm hitting the coast? Well, you see, Brother Rob don't make those decisions like that. I don't pray and curse anything, but you know, the thing is that if my Lord and my God says he has his way in the good and evil and all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. And brother, we're living in a hard nation. It's arrogant. You know, American people are arrogant and overconfident and they're bullies all over the world. You know, and you say, man, I don't like the way you talk. Well, the Lord Jesus don't like it either. We need to be a people of benevolence to help people and love people. So, brethren, the thing is this thing closing in on this coast? If God thinks he sees it, because let me tell you something. When the blood comes off the mercy seat, there's going to be a destruction that the world has never seen. This world is going to shake, and there won't be one stone standing on top of another, brethren. And I mean, this place is going to shake. And at the end of this tribulation, he said, if he didn't pull his wrath back, there wouldn't have been any come through it whatsoever at all. The problem we have in the Christian community is we put everything off to these collective devastations or collective catastrophic events. You know, we think of the Antichrist showing himself in this time of this tribulation period, making himself to be God, the whole world following after him, this and that. But the Bible said there's many antichrists among us now. And the problem is that, as again, speaking of the Christian mindset, the Christian community. You know, they're all, you know, saying, man, I'm waiting on the coming of the Lord. Boy, praise God, someday Jesus is coming back. But what happens is while they're waiting for this coming of the Lord, they're missing his appearing every single day. Every day, brethren, the Lord appears. And listen to, again, the standard theology of Christianity. They almost speak as if God left us 2,000 years ago to be here, left in this world to get our brains beat out and to just get all these terrible things and this and that. But he tells us in his word that he never leaves us nor forsakes us. Never. And the thing is when he promised that he would send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, he made a promise. Amen. And if you understand the word, if I took you over to 1 John 5 and it said the water, the blood, and the spirit agree in one, and it said the Father, Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Well, when Jesus promised to send the Holy Ghost, that was his coming. Now listen, brethren. The Bible does say that when he ascended off of Mount of Olives, said, why do you gaze here? And they talked to him. He said, in like manner that you see him leave, he'll come back in like manner. And he will come back in like manner. But he's already been back in the spirit. And he come into a many-membered body. You see, he says, I never left you nor forsook you. Okay? The thing is you are the body of Christ. The thing is if somebody is going hungry in your presence, then you must not have his spirit. He feeds the hungry. He clothes the naked. Amen. He binds up the broken, you know, heals the sick and binds up their wounds and helps them. You understand that? That's what we are. We're the body of Christ. We're active. We're about the Father's business. Amen. And the thing is many times people say, well, I'm going to go pray, and they're just hypocrites. Well, let me go pray about it. I say, shut up. You don't need to pray. Let's do something. If I see somebody out here in the yard drowning or whatever, you know, well, let me go pray about it. If I see your child running out for the road, you know, a little toddler like leave or something, well, let me go pray about it. What are you going to go pray about it? Go grab the little fella by the hand and save him. And you see, I believe in prayer. The Bible says we pray without ceasing, pray continually, you know. But what I'm saying is we've turned prayer into some kind of a religious covering that we got to go pray about it. Let me tell you something, saints. There are decisions you need to go and pray about. You need to find the mind of Christ and the revelation of the Lord in it. And you might have to tarry before him for days before you make a decision. So don't misunderstand me. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. But there's some things that don't need to be prayed about. Now, the thing is, you might have somebody that's in need, a family next door, say. And you know, you think, well, Brother Rob, if I help him, I'm going to be enabling a sluggard. I'm going to be enabling somebody that is just lazy and worthless. Well, yeah, you might have to pray about some of those things, but as a rule, if you don't know, you love them and help them and show the love of God to them. And then if you put the bread out on the waters and it comes back for you, the thing is, they might be that sluggard that you're talking about, but as you show the love to them and they've come to you, then you bring word to them. You indoctrinate them and teach them. We see the things in our society. We see the things in our government. We see the things in our education system. And America is breeding right now some of the most sorry human beings. Okay, I'm sorry if this sounds offensive to you. I don't care which way you want to look at it. The Christian community that's coming out of the United States of America, they've been proselyted and they're made twofold more the child of hell. They're surpassing land and sea, and they're going, instead of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're bringing this watered down Western theology with a lukewarm puke. You understand? Vomit on the tables of God. And they're taking it out of America when America was a strong evangelistic nation many years ago, and they sent men out. They were in harm's way. They were killed and martyred on the field by different things going into these communist countries. There's been American missionaries that paid a price to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I could speak in a favorable way of in the early years of this nation when it was serving God, walking with God, honoring God, and not removing him from everything, the blessings of God were on America. Right now, America's walking in its own blessings. God built them up, but it's diminishing down. And you say, well, we're the strongest nation. We got the best armies and we got the best this and that. Well, you're right. I'm not going to contest that. But you remember how God works. Like I said, he allowed a couple of Muslims to get in an airplane and use something that was made to transport people and turned it into a weapon and took two of the largest financial institutions down that we had in our country. And you say, well, it didn't, you know, it didn't mean that much, Brother Rob. You know, things kept going. It shut this nation down, brethren. When those airplanes flew in there, all air traffic was stopped. People quit work. People were watching, glued to the televisions, looking at, awestruck. But this is stuff that happens in other countries on a daily basis, and they keep functioning. But it shut America down. America's not prepared for war. Why? Because they're a bunch of sissies. American men have turned into a bunch of little pretty boy sissies, got their little manicures and stuff, their little polished ethics, and their snowflakes. They can't take endurance. They can't take correction. They can't take anything. Now, some of my Christian brothers and sisters here are turning into the same thing in this church, and I'm going to do everything I can to keep that, allow that from happening. Brethren, we got strength. We got stamina. We got endurance. We got power. We've got the love of God. We got the joy of salvation. I'm not moved by insults of people. I'm not moved by these kind of things, and you don't need to be. You need to stand up strong. Get into your little schisms and your little bickering and stuff because you ain't committed your works unto the Lord. You need to get your works established unto the Lord, have a vision doing something for God, and then you could love your fellow brothers and sisters. But when you sit back with your evil eye and you're complaining and you're bickering on a continuous basis about everybody that Brother Rob puts into position and gives them some kind of leadership role or do something, sit back and find a fault, it's because you got nothing but a devil. Are you listening, saints of God? It's a devil, and it's a devil every time. And I don't like devils. Amen. When your little daughter gets a devil, when your little son gets a devil, when your little granddaughter gets a devil, when your mama gets a devil, your wife gets a devil, guess what? They're going to run headlong into the Lord. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, we got all authority over the beast, over the serpents. Amen. Brother Rom could give place to devils. You understand that? Oh, man, but you're a pastor. You've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, yes, yea, and amen. But the devil's continually pursuing. And I could yield to the carnal mind. The Bible said the carnal mind's enmity with God, and the carnal mind is death. What is death? It's the devil. He's the one that has death, and he is the author of death. You understand what I'm saying? And the thing is Jesus Christ is life. Amen. I want to be in his mind. I want to be in his thoughts. And I want to show his love. And I want to be reaching for people and loving people and helping people. I don't want to enter into the house of God and be a stumbling block. I don't want to enter into the house of God and be an offense. I don't want to sow strife and discord in the house of God. I don't want to pick up my telephone and be calling this one and that one and bringing strife and things. I want to be a strength. I want to be a help. Amen. That's the anointing of God. To pull together, unify together, and join together. If I got a brother overtaken in a fault or a sister overtaken in a fault, the Bible said, ye that are spiritual, go to that one in the fall. Brethren, if your wife's in there, you need to go to her in love, and you need to bring them out of there. If her daddy's causing her to get in a carnal mind, or if your daddy's causing him to get in a carnal mind, and if he's working in a job place that's caused them to get carnal minded, and they're working around people that's causing these kind of things, command your homes and get control of your homes and pull your families together and run your homes and run your houses in the mind of Jesus Christ and the revelation of the Lord. Amen. That we can be walking in the unity and the victory and the power. Amen. I don't like negative talk. I don't like negative thought. Amen. I don't like people that are always looking. You know, we can convince ourselves. Andy's feeling fine right now, but I could sit here and talk to him and convince him he don't feel good. I can convince him to get a headache. I can convince him that all he wants to do is go home, take some aspirin, and get his wife to rub his back and put him to bed. Amen. I said, that sounded pretty good, Brother Rob. Amen. But you see, Jesus Christ is the high priest of our profession. And you know, the day I don't feel good and the things I could do, I could yield to that. Or I could profess Christ. I could say, praise God, by Christ I could do all things. And I could start moving and pressing and pushing. And I could overcome fear. I could overcome pain. I could overcome heartache. I could overcome negativity. I could overcome that old carnal mind that says, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you ain't going to make it. It ain't going to work out for you. And I say, shut up, Satan. Amen. I could do all things. Amen. Brethren, we're talking about who we are in Christ. And we are the children of God, the sons of God. Amen. We're the sons of God, brethren. And what we need to do is realize who we are. And this world needs to see something in us that they desire. You know, people say, well, you know, Brother Rob, I haven't been winning no souls. That's because you ain't acting like a Christian. Come on. You know, somebody comes, you know, if you're working with somebody, they come in, hey, how are you today? Well, I'm not doing too good, man. I'm thinking, man, don't ever answer like that. I don't care if you're hurting. I don't care if your back is throbbing. I don't care what's happening with you. You know what? They come, how you doing today? Man, praise God, man, I'm doing well. Amen. I tell you what, my pastor, Brother Pike, had some real infirmities going on in his flesh in his last few days. And I watched him laying hands on people and they were being healed by the power of God. Amen. While his body was shutting in and shutting down. Amen. It's going to happen to the greatest men of God you ever met. The most powerful men of God that you ever met. And you can say, boy, if they were anointed of God like me, you know, they wouldn't be doing that. Well, you just wait and hang on. Amen. This old body is on a collision course, brethren, with corruption. Amen. And I do know that there's an incorruption thing living and dwelling in me, an immortal thing that'll swallow up the mortality and swallow up that corruption. Amen. And it'll be eternal in the heavens through all of eternity. I know how to speak right, brothers and sisters, but let me tell you something. I got to also know that there's a number of days to this old natural man. It's like a flower. It's here for a moment and then it's gone. Amen. So the thing is let's take, like the Bible said, serve God while you're in your youth. Let's take this vessel and let's utilize it for the glory of God. Amen. So the thing is when that old thing is aching or that old thing's giving you a little problem, not cooperating, you need to tell it to shut up. You just need to say, you know what, I'm not submitting to you. You know, some of you fast often, and that's great, it's wonderful. And you say, what do we fast for? What's the purpose of that? It's for you to start telling that old devil that's down in there, that's always hungry and always wanting something to you shove down its throat. You just need to tell it to shut up once in a while and say, you ain't going to get that today. Amen. And you ain't going to get that this week or whatever it is. And you make a vow unto God and you exercise dominion over that fleshly part and you tell it. But you see, if you just stop with that, that's great. So now you've learned to take authority over your appetite. You learn to take authority over that old belly. You understand that? That's good. That's a wonderful thing. But you know, we could be doing that and not take authority over our thoughts. We can't take authority over our lives, our homes. We can't take authority over our mouth. Then what good is it to fast? You know, you'll be a hungry devil is all you're going to have at the end of the matter. Amen. But we fast for a purpose. Amen. The Bible said we fast and pray. You know, we're praying for the strength of God. We're praying for the virtue, the life, the unction that we could be utilized for the Lord, brethren. You know, we want the revelation of Jesus Christ, but we've turned it into a study and a textbook. But brethren, I am the revelation of Jesus Christ. You need to be able to say that. You say, Brother Rob, man, that's arrogant, that's haughty. No, Brother Rob no longer lives, and now it's Christ. The life I now live in, I live by faith. Amen. The life I live in this flesh, I live by faith. And you say, well, that just sounds arrogant. Well, you could look at it as arrogance, but you can also take a step back and look at it by a profession of the works of Jesus Christ, because his works weren't in vain. When he said that he bought me, he purchased me, he washed me, he set me apart, he predestined me. Amen. Amen. He sought me, he chose me, he found me. So it's all about him. So, you know, he says, who are you to find fault with me if I have one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? So if you don't like me, you don't like the way I look and you think I'm ugly and arrogant and this and that, take it up with him, okay? Amen. I'm just his servant. Amen. And the thing is, well, you know, maybe you ain't got that guy killed out like you think you do. Well, let me tell you, help me out then. I'm trying to keep him under. I'm trying to keep him out of the way and trying to serve the Lord. Amen. And that's your responsibility. You need to pray and love me and encourage me. Amen. And say, Brother Rob, I want to help you. I want to labor with you. I had a man continually finding fault and finding fault and finding fault with me. I said, well, brother, why don't you quit finding fault with me? And where you see my weakness at, if you could see it, then maybe you could do something about it. Get in and strengthen my hand. Amen. If you don't like the way I'm doing it. You remember what Brother Burt said? Brother Arthur Burt. A guy came up to him and he said, I don't like the way you're doing that. And he goes, well, brother, how you do it? And he goes, I don't. And he goes, well, I like my way better. Amen. Come on, I like my way better. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. You know, brethren, the thing is that we're all on the same journey of perfection, pressing into the kingdom, into the things of God. Amen. And the thing is if I'm not afraid to make a mistake, I might get out here toiling in something and doing something. And I say, wait a minute, we're going to readjust this thing. We're going to do it a little bit differently now. Amen. You know, we're going to perfect. How many of us in the ministry of perfection? Amen. And you know, as we say, Christ perfected us once and for all by his labors. But it's my obligation to bring his perfected works to visible, his invisible works visible in this mortal body, that other people could see the good works of Christ. When we talk about Jesus Christ, you know, and we talk about word flesh, we talk about the invisible Spirit of the Father came and personified himself in the flesh and tabernacle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Word flesh. Amen. And the thing is that we look back to this word flesh and we see it beaten and crucified. And then we see it going into the tomb. And it goes into the tomb and it comes forth after 3 days. Amen. And it comes forth as the resurrection. Amen. It was a different body than what it was buried as. It was, I got to be careful there because it's a changed body. Maybe that's the word I should say. I should use that word changed. It was changed from something corruptible to incorruptible, something mortal to immortal, you know, something terrestrial to celestial. So the thing is we could stop right there and we could say, well, praise God for what Jesus done. But it's not done there, brethren. Do you realize that? We're the body of Christ now. We're the resurrection now. Come on, you got to understand that. That's not being arrogant. You say, I am the body of Christ. All the churches teach that. Brethren, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of God, everybody believes that we're the body of Christ. Amen? Because we got Bible for this doctrine and for this teaching. So if you're the body, what is the body dead? Is the body perverted? Is the body lame? Is the Bible not able to walk? Is the body blind? Come on, no, it isn't. So then we got to take our active part. Amen? If I want to take this body here as a man and I want to walk, I got to bring it together and I got to walk. I got to take it. Amen? If it gets hungry, I'll take it and feed it, won't I? I use these feet to carry it over there to set it down at the table and open up the pie hole and start shoving some junk down it, right? Okay, you understand that. But what about the body of Christ? You understand it needs to function. It needs to have a way the same way to fulfill the desire of the head. Christ is the head. So what is his will? What is his desire? But if your body's always fulfilling its desires, its wishes, its will, you run to your own household. You leave the house the Lord laid waste. You're always doing your own thing and doing what you're after. You're not following the head of this body. And that means you're not part of the body. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So are we being led? Now let's talk about that for real brief. I'm trying to keep things simple tonight. But let's talk about the simplistics of that. So you say, well, I do believe, Brother Rob, I'm the body of God, but I got to work. I got to make a living. Okay, well, if you've got to work and make a living that you don't reproach the kingdom of God, you don't reproach the brotherhood, you don't reproach the Lord, so you got to work and make a living. So that could be a spiritual thing, couldn't it? You know it is. Being working and laboring could be a spiritual thing. But you see, eating could be a spiritual thing because I need to strengthen this body to keep it healthy, that I could utilize it for the glory of God, that I could take this body. If I go on a permanent fast, it won't last long. You know, and you say, well, if you were spiritual, Brother Rob, and get prayed up, you know, Moses went up on the mountain, you know, 80 days. And I said, well, I love your Bible stories too, but why don't you show me just 8 days? You know, you could talk about Moses. Hey, I could talk about Moses too, but just show me what you could do for 8 days. You know, what's your spirituality? With your big overconfident revelations. You know, I know what Moses did. I know Peter walked on the water, and you find fault with him. It's like, oh yeah, you know, you took your eyes off Jesus. I said, why don't you put yours on to take one step? Amen? And the thing is, I admire these great men of God. And I look to them and I thank them. I thank God for them. Amen? But brethren, what I'm saying is we get to looking at things so far beyond our reach, we're accomplishing nothing. You understand that? You want to be a pilot? And I said, well, you know, we could help you. You know, I want to fly an airline. Okay, well, get your eyes off the airline and let's look at the little two-place trainer and teach you about it. And once you start learning to show yourself faithful in the two-place, we'll start looking for the four-place and then the six-place and then the twin engine. But you got your mind up there and you're talking about that, but you ain't learned the principles of the two-place. And if you're out there and you're failing the attributes of aviation in the two place, we don't need to be talking about the four place or the twin engine. You understand that? There's a characteristics that come from the foundation. And some people don't like the foundational revelations and the foundational truths, but they got to come forth. It's so important because your revelations you're building upon are going to tumble like I've seen so many of them tumble because you don't have them on the proper foundation. You put it on the foundation of your will, the foundation of your spirit, the foundation of your knowledge, the foundation of your ministry, the foundation of your name and who you are. And that's all perfect failure every single time. Amen. It will fail. It might raise up for a short time. Willpower is a powerful thing. A man could will a performance man, and he could walk in will worship, and he could get people following him and awestruck with him and everything like that. But it'll fail, thus saith the Lord, every single time. Amen. Willpower is a good thing to bring your body under subjection with, but you're looking for the yielding to Jesus Christ, his will and his mind, his thoughts and his wishes. Amen. He'll put you on a journey. He'll put you on a journey, brethren, to be strengthened. Amen. If we got drill sergeants in the military that are going to take you and they're going to teach you to be men. They get some of these mommy boys in there and they cry. I talked with a chaplain. He said, man, my heart goes out to some of these little fellas. They listen to the line recruiter. Oh, yeah, you get to travel the world. Oh, you're going to get to see Europe. You know, you're going to get to see these islands. And they show them all this kind of stuff, but they don't show them that they're going to be down in the wet, cold mud, crawling on their belly, bullets flying over their head. Amen. With some guy screaming at them. Amen. And telling them to shut their whine and crybaby mouth. Amen. Now, if they're going to do that to make you into a soldier for this natural army, what you think the army of God's going to do, huh? They come up to Jesus. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't whine about it, you little snowflake. Don't whine about it. Let the dead bury the dead. Let's go do something for Jesus. Amen. That's the way the Lord Jesus talked to them, to try to make men out of them. And when you're so easily offended and so easily upset, and you're upset because somebody didn't do you the way you think, you ain't even fit to number yourself in the kingdom of God. You ain't fit to use the name Christian on any title with you whatsoever at all. We're going to walk in unity and one mind and one accord. We're going to praise the Lord, amen. And we're going to endure strength. And we're going to endure hardships, amen. I'm going to tell you something. Right here at Christian Temple, we make men, men. Amen. And we're going to teach the children. Amen. I sat down with a daddy back there a minute ago. And I said, boy, I'll tell you what, that little boy of yours is, man, goes home with a little bright red hand. He got in mama's class, huh? Come on now. And dad smiles. Amen. But let me tell you something. We're going to demand obedience and we're going to demand respect. And if your child is restricted in an area or it's not performing in an area or it's not doing, guess what? These teachers are trained and they're going to be in that child's face, amen. And they're going to demand respect, and they're going to demand obedience, and they're going to demand a walk, amen. And you know what? You need to let children learn to have some endurance, amen, to take things and submit to things, amen. Come on, parents. Come on, moms and dads. We're going to train them and teach them, amen, to have endurance. If they're going to flake out every time somebody offers correction, that means they won't be able to hold down a job. You understand that? They won't be able to hold down a job. Amen? Brother Josh went down, went through the training and completed the training to be a police officer. They went over and they rubbed him on the back every time. Oh, yeah, you the man. You the man. No, they was in his face like drill sergeants, demanding and pushing and pressing. Amen. We're not going to submit ourselves to this snowflake world of everybody's offended and everybody's entitled. And I'm entitled to this. I'm entitled to that. The only thing you're entitled to is surrender your carnal self and submit your ignorant carnal self unto God and resist the devil and resist your own wretched thoughts and cast those things down and say, here I am, Lord God. Get rid of your mind. I'm sick of your mind. It's a stench in the nostrils of God. Your mind is emanating nothing but perversion and puke and vomit. Get rid of your mind. Get rid of your will. Get rid of your desires. Get rid of your kingdom. Get rid of your wishes and submit yourself unto Jesus Christ and let him be Lord. Let him be God and let him rule and lead. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Show your children by example what serving God is. Show your families by example. Amen. Get out of your little clubs. Get out of your little meetings. Get out of your little minds. Get out of your little feeding one another. Amen. And if they're not going to bring the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, and something virtue and rich and powerful, tell them to shut up. Have enough backbone, brother. Have enough backbone, sister. You're a son of God. To just tell them, say, I'm not going to listen to that. Don't let no corrupt communication go forth out of your mouth. Amen. Let it bring something that's edifying, something good, something strong, something to encourage a brotherhood. Amen. Brethren, we all are guilty. We yield to spirits. We yield to thoughts. We yield to those kind of things. Amen. The Bible said, if you see a brother overtaken in a fall, let ye that are spiritual go to him. You know, if you're not spiritual and you're walking out there in your own carnal mind, you're going to go over there and say, hey, brother, we've been missing you at church, man. Why ain't you been around? Man, I'm sick of that church, man. Old brother robbed that old fat sucker, man, this and that. And all of a sudden, you're right there with him. Yeah, he is kind of fat, and he ain't no good, this and that. You ain't spiritual. You had no business going out there. You needed to be back at the house of God letting somebody change your stinking diaper is what you needed to be in your macho masculinity, amen. I am so overwhelmed to watch these people that call themselves men of God and men of valor, and they call themselves Christians, and I see nothing but this United States of America snowflake entitlement mentality. What you gonna do for me? If you ain't doing something for me, man, I don't want nothing to do with you. That's a devil every single time, thus saith the Lord. They're full of the devil. They got a devil, and they ain't about the Father's business. Amen. When you find a Christian and you find somebody Christ-like, let me tell you what you find. You find servitude. You find a willingness. You find a love for the truth. You find somebody that's willing to lay their life down. They want to be spent for the gospel's sake. They're not going to cry when they go home in pain, you know, from pressing and pushing and making things hurt. Brother Andy raised up at a place with a real man of God that was making men out of people, going home with semen burns on them from carrying and bucking in semen all through the night, getting soaked, being out in the rain, not stopping and keep things going, digging until your arms lock up and your hands lock up and cramp up. He demanded people to be men. He wouldn't put up for 5 seconds, Brother Pike, with this snowflake, sissy-fied bunch of things they call men today. Come on, man. They ain't nothing but a bunch of purdy boys, amen. They need to get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and take their active self. When you get these guys coming around with their revelations and this and that, and you don't see unity, and you don't see the mind of Christ in them, and you don't see the pressing, the Spirit in them, don't waste your time, amen. Crush their head underneath your feet. You understand? The head of that serpent. Amen. And you're saying it to get physical? I'm talking spiritually, brother. And you'll see that little old flesh man run off. Amen. If you could get that devil out of him and you cast the devil out, embrace him and love him and help him and strengthen him and lead him into the kingdom of God. Amen. But we're not petting devils. We're not playing games with spirits. Amen. Amen. We're going to press and we're going to push. If you're fighting fighting against what I'm doing here and you're pushing against the people I've got in headship and leadership, then you got to be in another mind that ain't my mind. Amen. And the thing is, if you don't think I'm in the mind of Jesus Christ and the mind of Revelation, you go find you a pastor that you think is. Amen. I'll pay the way. Amen. I'll buy you the bus ticket. Amen. And if you're too good to ride on a bus, I'll get you an airplane ticket. Amen. And I'm going to be doing some Pentecostal two-step dancing. Amen. Because I tell you what, I love you and I'd like you to stay, but get rid of the stinking devil that you got. Amen. We're not going to pet devils, Christian Temple Church. Amen. I approve this ad. I love y'all, man. Amen. Come on, saints of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's read some scripture tonight. And I hope that ain't too strong message for my little Baptist brothers over there in Conyers. Tune in, brethren, next week for oil and wine. I say, I've been coming over here to this church for 2 years. I ain't never seen no oil and wine. Amen. Well, hang on, boy. I'd come with some anticipation and expectation. Boy. Woo! Well, I'll tell you, old brother George wore me out one time really bad. He put his arm around me one day. And man, I was tore slap up. I mean, he called me up in front of the church, rebuked me. And man, I went over to get a little help and he rebuked me some more. Amen. I thought, man, I forgot the heat. Man, I'm tore up. I'm broken, man. I'm, you know, for sure he's going to pick me up and help me out a little bit. And he finished the job off, man. So now I'm just laid out with no life left in me. And he put his arm around me and started reminding me of some very positive things that he had told me. And I said, Brother George, if this is oil and wine, I said, there's too many sword holes in me. It's all leaking out. And he said, I got to go to the house and pray. And, oh, boy, it's a wonder he didn't turn the sword back on me some more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord tonight. Amen. Well, there's a scripture open right here and clicked. I don't know. It kind of just flew by, but we're going to read it. And maybe something we read last church service, I'm not sure. But it's in John 17:21. It says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. Can I read that again? I'm going to back up and read just a little bit more. I love this passage of scriptures. Let's go to 13. It says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And I want you to listen. The Lord is including you in what he's doing here, okay? Verse 15, it says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, speaking to the Father, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're of the world, you're not of him. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, how many believe that the Father sent the Son? Come on now, brethren. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's me. Anybody believe their word? Come on now, saints of God. We believe that word. I'm going to back up for a second. I'm not going to take much time here. And for their sakes, verse 19, I sanctify myself. I sanctify myself. I sanctify myself. Now you're talking about my Lord and Savior speaking like this, that I sanctify myself. Now, we teach a doctrine here, justification, sanctification, and glorification. When we're talking about justification, we're talking about the works of Christ for you. When we're talking about sanctification, we're talking about his works and your works coupling together to sanctify this vessel that the other people can see the sanctified works of Christ. You understand that? And if you're not sanctifying yourself, your mouthpiece, your voice has no anointing. It could say beautiful, flattery things. It could speak words, oh, Brother Melvin, oh, man, you're going to be, whoa, son, you're going to be a mighty man of God. Oh, my, the world has never seen, brother, what you're going to do for God. Ooh, I've got the goosebump. I'm glad none of you are apostolic. You'd think I got saved, man. Come on, I've been around all that stuff. Flattery, man, that's all it is. Yes, the brother could do something for God if he sanctifies himself and walks in the counsel of God and walks in the virtue of the Lord and he mortifies Brother Melvin Tabb and gets him out of the way. Then I could speak because I see the sanctified of the Lord. I see the redeemed of the Lord. I see the manifestation of my God and my Lord and my brother. And I could say, God is going to do great things in you because you've conquered that man. You've exposed that son of perdition and you killed him out. Amen. And when that man is dead, then I know it's no longer Brother Melvin Tabb living and it's Christ. Amen. And I could speak a prophetic word because I know the power of my God and I know what God can do. Amen. But if I don't see God, you say, but brother, a man could prophesy and see something that hasn't come to pass yet. And I say, yeah and amen. But let me tell you something. That man better hold his tongue for the counsel of the Lord. Because you could speak that to a man's head. And he gets puffed up in his head. I had a little punk novice kid get behind this sacred desk. Oh man, it's about time we get to hear from God. But he couldn't keep off the drugs. He couldn't keep off the alcohol. He takes his wife out of church. But there was a prophecy given over me when I was born. Brother, I don't care about your prophecy. I want to see the prophetic utterance come to pass. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't want you to talk about something that's going to be. I want you to show me something that I is. Amen. This is the ministry of the I am. The I am. The I am. Amen. That's who we are. We are him. Amen? I don't need some prophetic thing to tell me what I am. I know who I am because he is in me. And I've sanctified myself with his works, his labors, his mind. I am the sanctified of the Lord. I am the glory of the Lord. I am the power of his salvation. I am the manifestation of his works. Amen? And brother, we can flatter people, make them think they're something, and we can make them think something. I was in the Pentecostal realm for years, and every church service we'd have to have somebody. Somebody have to give a tongue. Somebody have to give an interpretation. I believe in the gifts of God, brethren. Oh yeah, we got some Baptist boys with us tonight. Amen. It's okay. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. They'll cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They'll cover. They'll take up serpents. Amen. They'll speak in tongues. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, you don't believe in that, do you? I just believe in all the word of God. Amen. But let me tell you, there's a lot of tongue-talking devils in America. I kind of line up with some of them people, man, because some of these people, they want to come and talk tongues. Amen. But I can't see no fruit of the Spirit in them. Amen. You could be nothing more than a tongue-talking reprobate devil. You understand that? So I'm not looking for tongues, brethren. I'm a manifestation of the risen God. I'm the manifestation of the resurrection. I'm talking about you. You're the manifestation. Now, my Lord and Savior, he's the firstborn of many brethren. This is what he said. I sanctify myself. So I'm saying, take heed to what he said. Sanctify yourselves. Get your mind out of the way. Get your works out of the way. Get your tree of knowledge out of the way. Get your revelations out of the way. Get your will out of the way and let it be him. Amen. Then you could be numbered with the sanctified. Amen. Hallelujah. Sanctification is a works of yours and his. When he said, I sanctify myself, you got got to remember who he was. He was the Father manifested in a flesh and tabernacle. There was the power of sanctification through the Father. Amen. He's living in me. The same Spirit that dwelled in Jesus Christ shall dwell in your mortal body. Amen. And that's what's sanctifying this mortal part of me. It's the sanctified of the Lord. It's the redeemed of the Lord. It's the chosen. It's the called. Amen. It's the God's elect. Amen. It's by his choosing. It's by his labors. It's by his works. Amen. Hallelujah. And I take them and I bring them into a understanding, and I bring them into a fruition. I bring them into an expression. I bring them into a purpose. I bring them into a manifestation. I unveil the things. Amen. I'm a mystery of the steward of these mysteries. I'm a steward of the mysteries. Amen. And that means that I'm going to bring those secret things out of the sanctified realm, and I'm going to bring them to fruition in a manifestation of the sons of God in the present day, being the I am with us. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not looking for the Lord. He is in us. We bring him with us everywhere we go. When two or three come together in his name, he's there. He's in the midst. Amen. He's in us. Don't forget that. Amen. You go to church and you want to act spiritual. You want to go to church and you want to act right. But let me tell you something. Amen. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the manifested of the Lord. You say, man, it sounds arrogant, Brother Ron. It isn't arrogant. It's when you no longer live, then you're going to allow him to live. You're going to allow him to speak. You're going to allow him to move. You're going to allow him to continue to bring good news and glad tidings to all men. You're going to allow him, brethren. It's him, amen. So get out of the way and let him go and let him have his way. Verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Okay? Who are them theys? Anybody know who they is? I'm a they. Woohoo, son, I'm a they. You a they? Come on, man. Amen. Amen. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Are you one with the Father and the Son? I hope so, because that's the only ones that are redeemed. That's the only ones that are sanctified. That's the only ones that are predestined. The Bible said we're predestined in Christ. And if you ain't in this, then you ain't none of his. You ain't going to get it no other way. Well, I got to go to cemetery school. You know, shut up, man. Come on, we're the predestined of the Lord. Amen. You meant seminary. No, it's cemetery school. I said it right. Amen. You call it whatever you want. I see all them boys that go over there and they get brainwashed. And they walk out as just another puppet and a little, you know, a little hireling. That's how you train hirelings. You send them to seminary school. Those are for the hirelings. You understand what I'm saying? You say, don't speak like that, Pastor Rob. Come on, be nice. I am being nice. I'm trying to keep you out of cemetery school. Amen. That's nice. Amen. You know, get on your knees and find some Lord and let him lead you into a church with a man of God and a pastor that ain't some sissy. Come on, that ain't some snowflake. Tell you everything you want to hear. But you don't speak against Joel Osteen. He's God's elect. If he's God's elect, I quit preaching. Amen. He ain't nothing but of his father, the devil. He's preaching false doctrine. Think that there's another way besides Jesus Christ. When my Bible said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And I'm not going to ever apologize for speaking against the devils. Amen. He's sold out to this world. And he's sold out with his little pretty girly friend, wife. And his little airplanes and helicopters. Say, you're just jealous, Brother Rob. I gave those saints up to come preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not looking for that stuff. Amen. Nothing wrong with a preacher having an airplane. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. But I'm telling you that when they seek after those saints and they walk with their little cocky walk and stuff, think they're better than somebody, they ain't got Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you, I don't care if your ministry brings in $10 million a day. You better humble yourself before the brethren. And you better walk with them and love them. And when you get so arrogant, you won't drop on your knees and wash their feet. Then you ain't got the Savior in you. Amen. When your ministry puffs you up and you want all these people bowing down to you, you ain't nothing but of your father, the devil. You understand? And it's all about you and your work and your labors. Amen. Get born again. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And become a servant of God. And when you start serving mankind and looking for the least of all, for you could let them know that you're the least. Amen. Let's give him one more hand. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord Jesus. All right. Let's go on just a little bit more. Praise the Lord. I appreciate all you Baptists here with me tonight, Brother Ed, Brother Rob, and Brother Melvin, and Brother Terry. You was an old Baptist boy one time, wasn't you? You old heathen rascal, you. And Brother Josh, was you ever a Baptist? You sorry thing, amen. We're having an exorcism after church, amen. If you're Baptist, you've got to be able to take a Baptist joke, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I love the Baptist people. You all know that. Just being a little lighthearted. Amen. We're going to close here right directly. Amen. Now, verse 22 says, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." He can't give his glory to another, brethren. That's what he says in his word. But he gave it to us. Why? Because we're the predestined of the Lord. We're the redeemed of the Lord. We are the body of the Lord. You understand that? We are the manifested glory of God in the earth. Amen? That's what he said. I'm just reading what Jesus said. For some of you people that got to, you know, I'm sure it's in red in your Bible, right? Come on now. I'm colorblind. I think this is in black up here, but you know, praise the Lord for red, huh? Amen. I'm going to read 22 again. "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." He give it to me. He give it to you if you're part of that body. "That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them." Where's he at? Come on, where's Jesus at? We say, man, Jesus is in my heart. You say, okay, well, praise God for that. Let's act like it then. Amen. Amen? Let's act like it. "I in them and thou in me." So he's saying he's in us and the Father's in him. Yeah. I got the Father and the Son dwelling in me. Amen. And we put those two together because the Father, invisible, manifested in word flesh, the Son, the Word made flesh, and he manifested, went back to the Spirit and came back as the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Because the ghost is something that's been personified. You see, if you saw a ghost walking in here and your grandfather passed away 15 years ago, and you say, I saw the ghost of my grandfather. Amen? Well, let me tell you something. When you see me, you see the ghost of Jesus Christ walking in the earth. Amen. Because he filled my heart and filled my spirit, and I no longer live. And now this flesh and tabernacle has been taken over by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's walking among men, bringing good news and glad tidings. And I'm in him, and he's in me, and he's in them. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm in you. Amen. If you're part of the kingdom of God and you're in me, and we become one body. Body, jointly fit together, and nothing could separate us. And when some carnal mind comes along, Brother Tab, and starts separating and start doing that, you know it's the mind of the devil. Amen. Now the thing is a preacher will reprove and rebuke and exhort, but he's rending that bell and bringing the sword of the Spirit, amen, to divide the soul and the spirit, amen, the bone from the marrow, that sharp edge. And it's going to bring that thing and put that part of you asunder that ain't supposed to be in the fellowship and the kingdom, you know. We're going to get rid of that fleshly part, that fleshly mind, that fleshly desires, that fleshly will, that self-esteem, that all about you and your works and your ministry and who you are. Until that is out of the way, you can do nothing for God. Amen. Except build your own ministry, your own empire, and it'll all come down, because there's a place when they're all bundled together, it's gathered with the tares. Amen. There was an axe laid to the root of that tree because it wasn't abiding in the vine. It separated itself and it became about me and about me and me and me and me alone. Amen. And you use his name for admiration. You use his name for a calling card. Amen. The queers are doing it. The faggots are doing it. They get together. Oh, I'm of Jesus. I've been born again. The drunks are doing it. The whoremongers are doing it. The Jezebels are doing it. Everybody's using the name of the Lord, for they could use it for advantage and for gain. Amen. And the preachers of the ministers of Satan are doing doing it. They're transforming themselves as angels of light and ministers of righteousness. And they're doing that thing, and they're talking about Jesus to get you together for they could pass their offering plates. Amen. And they could feed their big sweat hog fat bellies. That's what they're doing. They're a bunch of hirelings. Amen. If they would get born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, they would have compassion for the lost and compassion for souls and not with their greedy dog gains. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to finish reading right here. Verse 23. It says, "In them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Hallelujah. He's perfected us by his works, brethren. "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me." Amen. "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am." How you like living where the Lord Jesus is at? Man, we've been caught away into the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. "Father, I will that they also whom hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Pike knew him. He knew Brother Pike. And you think that's good enough for you? No, you need to know him too. You need to have that personal relationship. Amen. Come on now. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." Here's some manifestation right here. You know, it's something that Brother Lambert, you know, speaking tonight, you know, when he come up to sing a song, talking about a man asking him, you know, asking him a question. You know, "How do you know I'm born again?" "Because I'm the glory of the Lord." Hallelujah. "I'm the resurrected of the God. I am the resurrection." Amen. The Bible said we're children of the resurrection. Amen. The Bible said we're children of light. Amen. And when you're walking in darkness and you're not a child of light, how do I know that I've been born again? How do I know that I'm led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit? Because the sons of God are led by the Spirit, and we're not walking after our will, our desires, our wishes, our ministries, and our wants. We're walking in the revelated mind of Jesus Christ, fulfilling his will. And sometimes it's his will for the Son of Man to suffer. Amen. He said, "Equip yourself with a mind to suffer." Amen. But we're snowflakes, we're Americans, and we're sissies. Amen. Somebody sits in our pew and we get upset. Come on now. Man, we better get over that stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. We're looking for men. We're looking for a few good men. Amen. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Looking for a few good men. Amen. Hallelujah. This is 2017 and you want to be a sissy, my dearly beloved brother, get you a dress and they'll take you down there at the First Reprobate Church of the Latter-day Rip-Off Saints. Amen. You know where that's at? I'll give you the address. Amen. It's right around the corner. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, man. It's 2017. You want you a man? They'll give you your own special little bathroom for you can go in there, amen, and squat with the rest of the women, huh? Come on, man. They'll give you your own little bathroom. You can have your own little dress and everything. And, you know, if you don't like our long dresses here that the sisters wear, you can have you a little mini skirt. Yeah, I hope you shave your old knobby knees a little bit. Stinking heathen suckers, man. Come on. Yeah, I ain't going to pet no devils, man. Come on. Amen. I'm a drill sergeant, man. I'm going to make you into a soldier for Jesus Christ. Amen. If you want somebody to tickle your ears and tell you everything will be all right, go down to that other church down there, the Church of the First Terrors. They're all bundling together down there. Amen. And they'll receive you in. They'll love you. You could be a queer. You can be a drunk, a whoremonger, a pervert, a liar. You could be whatever you want. And you can profess Jesus Christ as your Lord, God, and Savior. But one day he's going to say to you, "I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me." The Bible says that at that point of time, you'll be dragged into the eternal flames of the lake of fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Death and hell be cast into the lake of fire. Amen. And that's eternal. I don't care what your doctrine says or what your theology says. I'm going to tell you this, the worm dieth not, amen. And you won't be there alone. Your boyfriend, brother, will be chewing on you in hell. Some of these men that were incarcerated down there in the prisons and stuff, they seen these mighty men of God, they called themselves, these Bible teachers and their puffed up haughtiness and things as they, you know, as soon as church service over, they slip in the room with another man in their filthy, ungodly perversions. Amen. And they want to call themselves a Christian. Somebody needs to be man enough to look at them and say, brother, with all due respect, I love you. And I do anything I can to help you, but you're on your way to hell. They may throw you out of the prisons, amen, for that kind of talk as a preacher. But somebody needs to have enough love for them people. Brethren, listen to me and listen clearly. I love the homosexual and the sodomites and the perverts, the infidels, the child molesters. I love them, the murderers. And I'll love them and help them to get their eyes open, that they could be born again and changed. But brethren, love isn't when they continue in their sin, when they continue to walk in the world, and they continue in their drunkenness and in their whoremongering and their sexual perversions and those kind of things. The Bible said two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. I'm not in agreement with that, and I'm not going to walk with them. That's why Brother Rob throws people out of church. Amen, because I give them a chance to get right with God and to line up with the doctrine and walk in the gospel of Christ. Amen. God will purify them and cleanse them and wash them and regenerate and reconcile them. But when they want to continue as a dog lapping up the vomit, as the sow swine pig going out there rolling in the mire, then I'm not going to walk with that. Somebody give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's stand together. I like making the devil mad. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't make no apologies for preaching the gospel. You say, well, you don't have to be so mean about it. Oh, that was being nice. Amen. Bring that devil over here. I'll show him what mean is. Amen. If I can't preach the devil out of him, I'll slap it out of him. Amen. And smile about it. Amen. You say, well, the Bible said turn the other cheek. I'll do that after I get the devil out of him. Amen. I'll keep turning his cheek till that devil's gone. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never hit nobody yet. I ain't never beat Jesus into nobody yet. There's been some times I thought if it would do him some good, I'd sure try. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you could wink on my ignorance there just a little bit, just being a little lighthearted with you. I love you and I'd do anything for you. I'm not one of your polished preachers with all of his polished ethics. I'm going to preach the gospel. Amen. And I'm going to love people. And while you are stuck in hate and hate things and this and that, you know, a queer probably think I'm, got, what do they call that, a hate crime? Is that what they call it if you speak against them people? Called a hate crime. I do hate sin of sodomy. I hate it because it puts people in hell. And I'm going to continue to hate it. And they can call it a hate crime if they want. And I'm going to be a criminal then. But I'm going to hate it. But at the same time, I will embrace them and love them and help them and lead them into the kingdom of God. Amen. And they'll have a quick conversion. Amen. Real quick. A real quick conversion. Amen. They're not, oh, Joe's not going to Johnny's house tonight, brother. Promise. Or Jerry over to Jimmy's. It ain't going to happen. Amen. Jerry goes over to Jimmy's house after he comes over here to this. Man, we're going to help him. Amen. We're going to help him, amen, just a little bit. I help people. I am long-suffering, you know. I am long-suffering. I will work with people and help them. I don't expect a man to come in and conquer all of his iniquities and infirmities overnight. I'm going to teach him how to conquer and how to fight. I'm going to put him in boot camp, but he's going to endure. You know, when you're a man, you know, a young man might be 20 years old, 19 years old, 18 years old, he goes in the army. He might have been kind of being a man for a few years, huh? He goes to bed when he wants and he drinks and he does his thing. But when he goes and joins up in the army, they say, shut your mouth. You're going to bed. It lights out. And when you're getting up at 4 a.m, you're going to run 5 miles before I feed you breakfast. They don't whine. They learn to be men. Well, let me tell you something. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for men that'll submit to the word of God and the will of God and submit and let a preacher make them into men of valor. Amen. Brother Pike said he liked a man with a backbone like a saw log, huh? He didn't like sissies. He didn't like polished men that come around with their polished ethics. He didn't like it either. You say, is that why you was that way? No, I'm not that way because Brother George is that way. I'm that way because the same one that lived in him is living in me. You understand that? I'm not a repeat of Brother George Pike, amen. I'm not looking to be like him. I'm looking to be like the one that was in him. And he wrestled with a guy named George Pike, amen. George Pike wrestled with his man and had to try to put him under, amen. Brother Rob Coons is wrestling with his man, trying to put him under and keep him under, keep him subdued and keep him mortified every single day, amen. So the thing is, we thank God for men like that that could bring us an understanding and we could see the sanctified of the Lord, and we could see that he done the same thing that Jesus did when he said he sanctified him. Brother Pike sanctified himself with Christ, with God's help. I'm doing the same thing, and I trust that you are. But brethren, it's all about Jesus. That's who it's about. Amen. It's about him. It's his work. It's his labors. You're his people. You are his. Amen. And we are in his ministry. Amen.
That's right.
So quit seeking your own. Quit seeking your own thoughts, your own name, your own fame, your own stuff. Amen. And you say, well, you just want us to submit to you, Brother Rob. The thing is, brethren, if you can't submit to me, you can't submit to
That's
him. Because
right.
he said, if you don't know me, you'll never know the Father.
Amen.
And I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And if you don't know me, you can't know him. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. If you're standing in my presence rejecting the spoken word that I'm speaking, you rejected my Father which
That's
is
right.
in heaven.
Yeah.
So if you can't receive me as a son of God and speaking the word of God, you'll never know the Father.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord.
That's
Let's
right.
give him one more hand. Amen. I love you. God bless you. Let's sing a song or two. Amen. Man, it was 8:30 about 2 minutes ago. Now it says 9. Somebody, you been playing with that clock, brother, back there? Yeah. All right. We're going to put Henry through boot camp in about 5 minutes, Brother
Just
Henry.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And daily walking close.
Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord, saints. As we close the service tonight, let's praise him and worship him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're trying to put some stuff together. Make a way for Brother Durrell, the brother that testified. Y'all call his name out in prayer. He's calling you his family. He's calling you his brotherhood. Amen. Brother Tab knows where he's at, don't you? Brother Jeff knows where he's at. There was a desire to be here with a family of God. Amen. Pray. Pray for him, saints. Amen.
As I walk, dear Lord, close to thee.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be.
Let's get Jesus out of the history books. And let's get him out of the prophetical utterances of one coming one day. And let's bring him alive today. Amen. Amen. People need a God today. They need the I am today. They don't need one that's going to come while they're being beat up and slain and perishing, watching their families perish and die. They need a God today. Amen. You need to bring the manifestation of the attributes and the love and the mercy and the compassion of God to the people today by serving God. Amen. If you're one that wants to stand and say, well, show me your love of God and I want you to take care of me, then you ain't never came to the revelation. God can't do nothing for you. Lay your life down. Let it be a living sacrifice and be part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever measure you're at, let him utilize you. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a little preacher out here mowing the yards, amen, running weed eaters and running blowers. You know, well, he should be over at the cemetery school. This is seminary, amen. It's teaching men to be men and having a vision. And if you leave the house of God lay waste, you ain't fit for the ministry. Amen. You need to be running for the things of God. If you got an opportunity to do something for God, jump at it and take it. We had a men in men's meeting, a man in men's meeting down in Georgia, and he said, I learned one thing when I was in the army, never volunteer for nothing. And I just said, what kind of reprobate mind is that? Now the man's off and lost on his way to hell. Talking like that in front of a brother, I mean, you need to volunteer for every single thing that you can and make yourself available. When you see the brethren laboring and you're never part of it, what does that mean? What does it mean when the brethren are working and laboring? It must mean you must not be part of this thing. You say, is that how you weigh things out? Bless God. That's exactly the way I weigh things out. Amen. I want to be numbered with this. I want to be part of this thing. And I want to labor in this thing. And I want to build this thing. And I want to continue pressing in. I want to be zealous for the things of God. Amen.
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 Right.
Praise God. Man, you brethren should be smiling. We got some men that work hard around here and making themselves available and women alike. Amen. Well, let's get a vision. The Bible said they perish without a vision. If you ain't got a vision, you're going to perish. Amen. Get you a vision. Amen. See, I've been wanting one. You never made yourself available long enough. Never proved yourself. Never sanctified yourself long enough that I can give you a vision. Amen. Take time. Brother Chuck said, I get tired of training people and they don't do nothing. They come in for a few minutes and they're gone, got something else to do. Amen? I understand that. I understand it perfectly clear. Amen? Hallelujah. We got a lot to do. Take a vision. Get a vision. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. What are y'all so quiet for, man? Somebody say, hallelujah. All right, let's do it one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Hallelujah. We got a vision. Amen. You got a vision every time you're on the job site. Your vision is to show God to those people, to show the love of God to them. Don't be out there after filthy lucre and gain. You're out there and you're just, and all they see is you want to hurry up and get out of there for you can make more money. That ain't showing the love of God. When you get done, man, ask them if you can sweep the floor for them. Go in and wash your dishes. Come on, man. You probably the one that dirtied them. Hush. I told her to hush because she's thinking, practice what you preach, preacher. That's it. She won't let me do the dishes, Brother Melvin. I don't do them right. I don't know how to run the washer neither. You just be quiet. Don't act innocent over there. Lay hands on him for me, brother, suddenly. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. As Brother Ed sings, amen. Close the service out. Brother Melvin, you come up and dismiss us tonight. Y'all love the Lord. Amen. It's an honor to have Brother Melvin here. You feel Brother Darrell's heart, brother? Amen. We're going to have a word of prayer here. This little pretty girl, baby girl right here, can't have no needs, could you? What's up? You got to get down here where I can hear you. Pray for who? Your ninny? Mimi? Mimi, your grandma? Papa and Mimi? Is this Brother Larry's mom and dad? Okay. I know your grandma's been sick, fighting cancer, huh? You know what? We know a Jesus that still heals today, don't we? And we're going to pray and ask Him to hear your prayer. You know, God hears your prayer. When you come into His altars, into His church, before His servant, and you're crying out for your grandmother and your papa, He hears you. Amen. He's moved by your prayer for your grandma and your grandpa. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for childlike faith, Lord God. And Father God, knowing that there's nothing too big for you to do, that you're still a miracle working God. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. That you cannot shorten the life of her grandmother. Father, we speak life in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we rebuke death. We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. Pray with me, saints of God. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that one could set 1,000 and 2 10,000. And we rebuke that death and we rebuke that cancer in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I ask you to do a great work in her papa's heart. Oh, Lord God, let him come to the doctrine of the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, help him, lead him and guide him and direct him in Jesus' name. Amen. Say thank you, Jesus. Say thank you, Jesus. You gotta thank him. When mama makes dinner for you, do you thank her for making dinner? Look at mama and say, thanks, mama. Okay, now look up. Say thank you, Jesus. You gotta thank him. You're not gonna thank him. See, I do it all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Let me hear you say, thank you, Jesus. God bless y'all. Remember these prayer requests.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.